You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, March the 1st. We made it to March. It just sounds a lot better, doesn't it? But today we're going to talk about a split decision from Thursday for Pistons interest, and maybe look ahead to probably what's going to be a split decision over the weekend as well. But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Motown covering the NBA and the Pistons for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like most of y'all, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Appreciate you guys spreading the word out there. But today we're going to recap the action from Thursday in the NBA, the relevant stuff to the Pistons. Going to talk about the fill-in hosts that we have coming in, give a little note on that. Also going to look ahead to the Cavaliers game on Saturday and the Raptors game on Sunday in detail. The Chris Herring article from 538.com, friend of the program, that he released on Thursday about the Pistons. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter, like I always ask. Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. You'll notice on the Facebook pages and the Twitter account that we have a new logo. So check that out as well. Appreciate you guys. But like I said, I'm going to be going out of town for a few days, not this weekend, but the following weekend, and I've got three guest hosts lined up. They're just going to do the first segment of each show, and I'll have some pre-recorded stuff for the rest of the show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. Not this coming week, but the following week, so the 10th through the 12th, I believe. I decided, you know what, we'll just have some other people kind of fill in and watch the games closely and give their thoughts on it. You'll get some fresh perspectives, some fresh personalities as well. Looking forward to hearing what those guys have for us. But I had some other guys reach out. I just had the first three guys or first three listeners. Could be gals, but it wasn't gals that got involved. So the six people actually reached out, and we will let the first three do it, and then the next three, we'll think of another way to get these guys involved in the near term. And maybe I'll just take another vacation or something. I'm kidding about that, but we'll find some other ways to get you guys mixed in going forward. Stay in touch. Let me know if you have any ideas of things you want to do for a segment, or if you ever, like I said, like I always say, and I'll give out the number again, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Anytime you have thoughts about something I've said, just call that number, leave a voicemail, leave it under 2 minutes, and we'll play them here on the show. I'll react to them at the bottom of each show, or I often give out prompts to react to for that phone number, so here for those as well. But even if there's an unprompted thing that you have, a thought that you have, please call 810-666-1546 anytime. But we've got some eager guys out there. I'm happy about that. Maybe one of you guys will replace me someday, or maybe I'll just do this until I'm 70. We'll see, but looking forward to getting some of you guys involved in the future. But Thursday, getting back to basketball action, the Rockets beat the Heat 121 to 118, helping the Pistons out there. Houston was down 12 points going into the fourth quarter, and we're down 10 with like six and change left to play. But then our angel that we did not deserve, but we love anyway, James Harden, 58 points. The Rockets get the big win. That's the good news for the Pistons. The bad news is the goddamn Warriors can't win one freaking game for the Pistons. If you listen to this podcast and have for at least a year or so, you know that I am a hater of the Golden State Warriors. I know everyone has moved on with Kevin Durant. You know, live and let live. Do whatever you want to make. Whatever you do that makes you happy. Go to Golden State and team up with the team that beat you in seven games in the Western Conference Finals. That's fine. And I certainly think that he has the right to do whatever he wants to do, and I have no issue with that, but I'm not going to act like the Warriors winning all these titles is some grand feat when they've just accumulated a super team like that. Also, you know, they've ruined the playoffs for these past several years for me. I know that 2016, a nice finals with LeBron and the Cavs there, but the Cavs actually ended up winning. But I love the NBA playoffs, and now it's just lame to see the Warriors just killing everyone, especially in the NBA finals. So much so that I predicted the Celtics to win the NBA championship this season. I don't even know if I really believe that or even believed that back then, but I have to stand by it, and I still do. But I basically just predicted that because I hate Golden State so much. I don't want that team to win. All that said, the two games this week that they had, we needed Golden State to win in Florida. Last night against Miami and then Thursday night against Orlando, they can't do either of them. They can't help out the Pistons at all. Durant rests on Thursday because it was so hard not beating Miami on Wednesday that he had to take his first game off of the season. Unbelievable there. And the Magic took care of business against the Warriors, 103-96. The Dubs were 9 of 40 from three-point land, 22.5%. You'll never see that again, but just when the Pistons needed them, they crapped the bed, I guess is the way to put it. Come on, man. You're going to ruin my May and June NBA playoffs. The least you can do is help us out at the end of February. But so one bad result and one good one for the Pistons on Thursday night. Friday, for their interest, brings on the Hornets playing against the Nets. So two of the red-letter opponents there. The Pistons are either going to be closer to the sixth seed after that one, or maybe the eighth seed will creep up closer to them from behind. The Pistons sitting at 29-31, seventh place alone in the Eastern Conference. 1.5 games behind Brooklyn, 1.5 games ahead of Charlotte and Orlando, who are now tied for eighth, with the Warriors flopping against the Magic. Pistons 2.5 games ahead of Miami, who is in 10th place. Washington still lurking 4.5 games behind the Pistons in 11th place. I'm going to be rooting for Charlotte tonight over Brooklyn just because I don't want any of these teams to get out of reach for the Pistons. I want that sixth seed to be as attainable as possible and for no one to kind of run away with it. There's more teams that are within reach for the Pistons, more teams that are within play. It gives you more chances for some of these teams to slide and fall at the end of the season. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know statistically who the Pistons should be rooting for, but that's just how I think about things at this point in the season. Now, overall, though, nights like Thursday, they're okay with me. Golden State aside, Pistons are doing pretty well. They're in a position of strength right now with the playoff odds, so a good chance they're going to get in there. So nights where there's some good things that happen, some bad things, that's okay. You know, the needle didn't move that much. The Pistons are still sitting pretty well, although the odds dropped down to 86% chance of making the playoffs, according to 538.com, down from 88. And that makes sense because the Heat losing at Houston is an expected outcome, whereas Golden State losing to Orlando is an unexpected outcome. So the unexpected thing working against the Pistons changes the numbers and hurts the Pistons' chances. Still, the best playoff percentages in the league, other than the 11 locks that the 538.com site has as the better than 99% chance of making the playoffs, which is 5 teams in the East and 6 teams in the West. Outside of those 11 teams, the Pistons' 86% chance of making the playoffs is the best percentages out there. But up next, we're going to be talking about this weekend. The Cavaliers coming up on Saturday and the Raptors on Sunday. But when you get in your car, go ahead, and I've been telling you this, so you better be doing it by now. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we will come with you on your way to work, on your way to wherever you drive. But we also have an important favor to ask you, and we'd like your help. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better, if that's possible. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. And by participating, you enter in the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card, $250. Go check out a concert this summer, Pistons playoffs maybe, at Little Caesars Arena. But just visit LockedOnPodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's LockedOnPodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir! All
right, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the 538.com article from friend of the show Chris Herring about the Pistons, divulging some of the details from there. But also, hey, congrats to Antoine Davis of the UAD Titans. The freshman phenom on McNichols is the new all-time leader in three-pointers made by a freshman in NCAA history. He beat out Steph Curry's record on Thursday night of Davidson. I wonder what happened to that Steph Curry. But anyway, congrats to Antoine Davis, the UAD Titans. I believe that win that they had clinched a spot in the Horizon League Conference Tournament. They will be in a state at a host site on a campus on the road somewhere for their quarterfinal game. I believe Oakland's has a chance to possibly host theirs before the semifinals and finals are played at Little Caesars Arena, not this weekend, but the following weekend. So we'll see if Oakland or Detroit get to Detroit, and we'll see if either of them can work their way through that tournament, get to the NCAA tournament. But congrats to Antoine again. The Pistons will be back in action in Cleveland on Saturday afternoon, a 5 o'clock start in the mistake by the Malek, so you can watch it and then do your carousing after that for Saturday night. So a nice 5 o'clock start. Whatever you do on Saturdays, you can still fit that Pistons game in before hitting the town, hitting your dinner out, whatever you're going to do. But a 4-point spread for that one, and the Pistons are only a 66% chance of winning, according to 538.com, one of our favorite sites. Also, the Cavs have won after their win on Thursday night against the Knicks. The Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers, have won 3 out of their last 4 games and 4 out of their last 6. Now, before we get too excited about how well they're playing, those wins are 2 of them against the New York Knicks, 1 against the Phoenix Suns, and 1 against the Memphis Grizzlies. So fellow tank teams are there. So, but still, you know, anytime the Cavs are getting some wins, something must be going right. This is the start. This game against the Pistons on Saturday will be the start of Cleveland going on a long run against playoff teams. As it stands right now, it has a nice ring to it as we include the Pistons in that playoff team group right now. Kevin Love will be making his season debut against the Pistons this year. He has already played. He's playing the Pistons for the first time. Now, can I say this, by the way, doing some research here? I follow this league very closely, as you know, as you can imagine, for me doing this show every day and watching all the basketball that we watch. I had not heard that Kevin Love was back from his early season injury. That's how far off the map that the Cavs are right now. He's actually played 6 games. He lost, the Cavs lost the first game that he was back. He only played 6 minutes in that one. But in the last 5 games that Kevin Love has played, the Cavs are 4-1. And in those 5 games, Love is shooting 17 of 35 from 3. That is a 48.6 percentage mark from 3-point land in the last 5 games for Kevin Love. So he is shaking off the rust very quickly, playing very well. Had 32 a couple games ago, 26, I believe, on Thursday night in the win against the Knicks. Tristan Thompson, he's another story, and I'm sure maybe you've heard about his story, but he didn't play on Thursday night, not playing lately. Not sure if it's because of his foot, as what's listed on the NBA injury report these days, or the personal, let's just say, scandals that he has going on in his personal life. I tried to find an update on his foot by doing a Twitter search on Tristan Thompson, and let's just say there was not a lot of info on his playing status, but lots on his relationship status, so you can check that out if you're interested in that. So for the tankers, you had Chicago going on a little bit of a surge lately. Now you got Cleveland going on a little bit of a surge. They both are kind of neck and neck for being that fourth team in the reverse standings, which would be playing yourself out of the coveted top 3, which you would want to be for the shaved off even odds, new look lottery odds that we have here in the NBA. But moving on to Sunday, the Pistons will be back at home for a 6 o'clock game against the Toronto Raptors, a little bit earlier than usual. Pistons will be 4.5-point dogs at home on Sunday as of I taped this on Thursday night. And I believe it's going to be the celebration of Hooper's birthday. So big ups to Hooper for a birthday celebration coming up on Sunday. The Raptors also playing tonight at home against Portland on ESPN, so you might want to check that one out. And then they'll be coming to Detroit after that. The Pistons playing Saturday and Sunday. So Sunday will be the second half of a back-to-back. Pistons now 4-4 on the season on the second half of back-to-backs this year. Toronto very recently won a 7-game win streak, only to lose to Orlando on Sunday without Kawhi Leonard. But they recovered by smacking around Boston on Tuesday leading into Friday's game against Portland. Fred VanVleet's pretty much their only injury casualty right now. He's got the thumb injury. But Pascal Siakam, who probably should have gotten some more all-star consideration, if we're being honest, having an outstanding season. Kawhi Leonard, of course. This will be the Pistons' first look at Toronto with Marc Gasol on the roster. He's coming off the bench in favor of the new starting center, Serge Ibaka. That's where the NBA is at right now, that Serge Ibaka is a starting center, and we didn't even bat an eye for it. They've also acquired Jeremy Lin and Pat McCaw recently. So not your father's Raptors, not your grandfather's Raptors. But looking at this roster, this team is just loaded. The Pistons might get killed on Sunday. Just going to prepare you for that one. Old friend, by the way, old friend alert, Jody Meeks is now on the Toronto Raptors. What a weird team that they have up in Canada, which I guess makes sense. But as you listen to this, the Pistons, by the way, a stat that I unearthed tonight as I was doing some research, Pistons are the only team left in the NBA with 22 games remaining on the schedule. Everyone else has less. And then, and as we tape this late on Thursday, there's going to be a lot more teams that play on Friday that shave another game off of their schedule. And obviously the Pistons won't be one of those teams that does that. So it's fast and furious the rest of the way for the Pistons with their 22 games remaining. It's going to be happening in a very short amount of days. So this back-to-back that the Pistons have this weekend is the first of 5 of the back-to-back series that the Pistons have the rest of the way. So that's kind of your look at the weekend ahead with the Pistons, with the Cavs on Saturday, and then back at home for the Toronto Raptors on Sunday, and then a home game against Minnesota on Wednesday, a little midweek, a little easy week there Couple days off, and then into a home-and-home series Friday and Sunday with Chicago, with the first game Friday night being on the road, and then home at a noon game on Sunday. Noon on Sunday, remember that, for the Pistons against the Chicago Bulls next weekend. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now, on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to be talking about the 538.com article from Thursday that came out by friend of the show, Chris Herring. That is up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Now, I wanted to talk about an article that came out on Thursday that was written by Chris Herring of 538.com, a former guest of the Locked On Pistons podcast and one that we hope to have on again sometime soon. By the way, Chris is writing a book right now, and he shared on Twitter late in January that he's in the process of writing it. He is a former beat writer for the Wall Street Journal of the New York Knicks. So the book is tentatively titled, according to Chris, Blood on the Hardwood, The Flagrant History of the 1990s New York Knicks. So if you're a Bad Boys fan, I don't know, Pat Riley hater maybe from the Lakers days, or if you have a lot of feelings about that Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, Patrick Ewing, John Starks group. Of course, former Piston Allen Houston will probably have some cameos in that book as well. Could be an interesting read for Pistons fans, kind of the Bad Boys era there as well. But Chris had an article that came out on the website called The Pistons Are Far From Perfect, But They Could Make Noise in the Playoffs. Chris passes along a lot of the same stuff that we've been talking about these last couple weeks during the impressive search by the Pistons lately, but he crystallizes it some more with numbers, and we've cherry-picked some of them from that story that we'll pass along here. Now, through February 1st, the Pistons were 29th out of 30 NBA teams in the separate categories of effective field goal percentage and also true shooting percentage. Now, those categories are basically the same thing, except true shooting percentage also throws free throws into the equation too. Effective field goal percentage basically takes field goal percentage as it usually is, but weights three-pointers into it, in that it's if you're making more three-pointers, you're going to have a better effective field goal percentage, because we know that three-pointers are worth more. So if you're knocking those down at a better clip, it's going to help your effective field goal percentage. Now, in those two categories where they were 29th, since February 2nd, after that time, the Pistons are fifth league-wide in both of those categories. So it speaks to the leaps and bounds of improvements offensively that we've seen the Pistons make during the month of February. Also, some other stats that he had about this time frame. The Pistons' share of one-on-one plays before February 1st was second in the league. So a stagnant offense, watching Blake do everything. So second in the league on basic one-on-one plays that were mostly percentage-wise part of the Pistons' offense. Now, since that time, February 2nd, basically the entire month of February, the Pistons are 12th in that category. So more ball movement, more plays that were off of passes, more assists, more of that type of stuff. And it's not just one person, whether that be Blake Griffin or Reggie Jackson, whoever else, making a one-on-one play. So, and he also talked about some of the improvements by individuals such as Andre Drummond going back to the basics near the rim, basically not going back to the basket at all, just finishing off easy plays, getting easy finishes, and helping out his field goal percentage as well. And also about Reggie Jackson, speaking of field goal percentage, a career high 36% from three right now for Reggie Jackson, 36.3%, I believe, with his old career high sitting at 35.9. So the best three-point shooting season so far in Reggie Jackson's career. Now, Chris also writes, heading into Wednesday night's games, only four players had helped boost their team's winning percentages more than Ish Smith, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. The Pistons have logged a 21-13 record with Smith, 61.8 winning percentage, and an 8-18 mark, 30.8%, without him. So Ish Smith's injury obviously derailed the Pistons' season in some ways. Certainly there's truth to that. Now, I think I would argue that the bigger reason that the Pistons lost games during that time was because they were facing a brutal schedule, and it just happened to be the time that Ish Smith was hurt. Now, of course, we know that Ish Smith's injury has hurt the Pistons too, so those are two things that kind of go hand in hand when talking about that record. But pretty impressive for Ish Smith, especially a guy who's going into a free agency year, to say, hey, the Pistons were really good with me and were really bad without me. And according to Chris's numbers that he found from the Elias Sports Bureau, Ish Smith's difference in winning percentage with him on the court or without him on the court, fourth best in terms of his individual contributions to those marks. And Chris also went on to say, the Pistons, in this closing paragraph, a real chance of getting past Indiana in the first round in that 3-6 matchup. And I think that's the thing that a lot of us here have our eyes on here in Detroit Pistons land as we look to the end of the season, which is rapidly approaching, 22 games remaining going into this weekend. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. If you aren't doing that by now, I don't really know what to tell you, but go ahead and start doing that for your commutes so we can get in your earballs in another place and basically just surround your life with the Locked On Pistons podcast. Just wrap my arms all around you and never let you go. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying, hey, thanks again for a great February. Let's do it again in March. Enjoy your weekend, everyone, and we'll be back on Monday recapping the weekend for the Pistons. Got a lot of nice guests in mind over the next couple weeks. Excited to share those ones with you, and look forward to that. So we'll talk to you guys soon, and thanks for listening, everyone.